and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation will begin this evening's worship service singing together from Psalter 15, all three stanzas. Lord, our Lord, thy glorious name, all thy wondrous works proclaim. In the heavens, with radiant signs, evermore thy glory shines. Infant lips thou dost ordain, wrath and vengeance to restrain. Weakest means, fulfill thy will, mighty enemies to still. 15, we sing 1, 2, and 3. Scripture reading for this evening can be found in Psalm 8. Psalm 8, but first we will hear the 12 articles of our Catholic Christian undoubted faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention to you Psalm 8, to the chief musician upon Giddith, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Thus far.
Congregation, let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, how excellent is thy name, as we have heard from thy word. And as we now pray unto thee and take thy name upon our sinful lips, Lord, teach us to pray. Give us true humility, knowing who we are, that we are sinful, a polluted people, and that in prayer we are drawing nigh unto thee, that holy, that majestic God of the heavens and of the earth, of him who is too pure to look upon sin, of him who is a consuming fire outside of thy dear Son. Lord, give us awe for thee. Give us reverence for thy holy, thy precious, thy glorious name. Lord, teach us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thou hast made us for one purpose, to live, glorifying, hallowing, worshiping, extolling thy name. But Lord, we have left thee, that overflowing fountain of all good, in paradise. We have turned our backs to thee, never to return. And Lord, we are born totally depraved, with not one desire to hallow thy name, with no ability, lost, sinful, loving our own names instead of thy precious name. Lord, have mercy upon us. Wash us and cleanse us of all our sins. Wash us and that all-atoning blood, that blood that cleanses from all sin, also sin, how we live with no desire for the hallowing of thy name and also thy people, how we come so short, how sinful we are in our thoughts, our words, our deeds, our affections of hallowing thy name. Lord, we beg thee then tonight, when we consider that first petition of that prayer that thou hast taught us to pray, may those who yet have no desire, no hunger, no life to live for thy glory, for thy honor, no desire to praise thy name, they only care for their own name, for their own life. Oh, may they be convicted and convinced in their heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, that they may be awakened, that they may be made alive, that they may become guilty and lost, and that they may be drawn to thee, that they may seek thee. Lord, it's thy work. Man can only proclaim thy word, and he needs thy help to preach. And yet thou hast said, through the foolishness of preaching, thy kingdom will come, thy people will be gathered. Lord, we beg thee then, bless thy word richly, also for the instruction of thy dear people. Oh, how guilty we also are before thee. How little we desire to live for the glory, for the honor, for the praise of thy name. Oh, may we see it, how we need that mediator, that precious one who lived his whole life in perfection, in all his thoughts, in all his words, in all his deeds, in his whole being, hallowing thy name. Lord, we pray then, work among us by thy Holy Spirit. May thy people grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. May they grow also in sanctification, that they may have more fruits for the glory and for the honor of thy name, that they may live in this world as a light. Lord, we need then thy grace, thy spirit. There's nothing in us. But Lord, we pray then for thy name's sake, come and convert sinners unto thee, and teach and instruct and edify, sanctify thy people. We pray and ask thee, Lord, to remember the whole congregation. Thou knowest each one here and all who are listening along by the means thou hast given. Thou knowest each heart, each care, the questions, the concerns, the riddles, the crosses in our lives. O Lord, wilt thou remember us in thy mercy? Give us grace to follow thee, to take up all our crosses. By nature we only rebel against them. But Lord, teach us that it is thy faithfulness, thy mercies, that we have not been cast away, and that everything we experience in thy life is in thy providence, and we only deserve eternal wrath. Oh, teach us who we are and how great thou art, how sinful we are, that we may learn to bow before thee. But teach us not only of thy holiness, of thy righteousness, and of thy justice, but also of thy mercy, of thy grace, of thy love, through thy dear Son. We pray and ask thee, Lord, to remember all those whom thou hast placed over us in this nation. This great nation has been founded upon Christian principles, but we must confess as a nation, as a government, and as a people, as citizens of this country, there is no hallowing of thy name. Thy name is desecrated, blasphemed in so many numerous ways. And are we, thy people, like Jeremiah, who wept because of how thy name was mocked and how thy commandments were sinned against. O Lord, wilt thou give then thy people more zeal for thy name, for thy honor, for thy glory, and that we may lay our nation before thee and beg of thee, remember us in thy mercy. Do not leave us to ourselves, but work among us. Do not take the light of the candlestick of thy word from out of this nation, Lord, but bless thy word richly yet among young and old. Oh, we pray thee, give a true national repentance to hallow thy name, to love thy name, to serve thee, to worship thee, to adore thee, to follow thee, to obey thee in all thy commandments. We pray, remember us also as families, that we may also live hallowing thy name, but also individually and as a congregation. Lord, we beg thee then, have mercy upon us and look upon us through thy Son. Bless thy word then tonight, the preaching of thy precious word to the coming of thy kingdom. Lord, we pray also for the persecuted church, those throughout the world who love that only name and who suffer for that name of thy dear Son, who are tortured, who are in prison, who cannot live freely to come to worship thee, to worship thy precious name. Uphold them, care for them, help them, be near unto them, Lord. We pray and ask thee, Lord, to remember also all those who have been called throughout the world to preach thy word. Give us in our hearts, Lord, hallowed be thy name. Give us much awe for thee, reverence for thee, for thy name, for thy honor, for thy glory. We pray, remember then also, Lord, those national sins that we commit against thee every day, especially that sin of abortion, all that blood that is shed. Have mercy upon us. Oh, give respect for life, that we are made in the image and the name of God, from the moment of conception unto the moment of natural death. We pray, Lord, remember those who in our nation and also maybe among us who speak out against these sins. Help them, strengthen them. It's a righteous cause, Lord. And may we lay them before thee, and that they may be used as instruments in thy hand, and that they may, that the blessings, these means, may be used to bring a national repentance. We pray, help us as fathers and mothers to teach our children to hallow thy name. Remember us as husbands and wives, Lord. Give faithfulness. Give love for each other. Help those who struggle in their marriages. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, give love. Thou art an almighty God. Thou can help the helpless and the hopeless. Thou can inflame that love for each other again. But give us especially love for thee, Lord. Remember all our children who live in this nation where there is no respect for thy name. Oh, give them the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts, that they may live with a desire to hallow thy name. We lay before thee also the school thou hast given us. Lord, we thank thee and give us true, humble, thankful hearts. All that was provided of the funding in the last days, may we be humbled and may we end in thee, the giver of all these gifts. Lord, bless them the education, whether we teach our children at home or whether they go to school. Help each one, parents, teachers, principals, staff, and may our children grow up with the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts. Lord, convert them. Give them a new heart. Give them a heart of flesh, a teachable heart, a heart that loves thee and hates sin, a heart that hungers and thirsts for thee and for righteousness. but work among us all, Lord. Remember those who are expecting a child. Lord, help the mothers care for that life. Give strength and spare life and give life in that moment of birth. Remember those who desire to have children. Lord, wilt thou bless the means? Thou art the God, that almighty God, who also creates life in the womb. Remember those who are single, longing for a godly partner for life, wilt thou provide. Remember those who are dating, those who are engaged and looking forward to being married, keep them, guide them, and give them that they may live in holiness. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. We beg thee for thy presence tonight. Lord, come among us. And thou hast promised in thy word, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst. O Lord, we beg thee then, without thy presence, it's all empty. It's all form and custom. There will be no worshiping of thee. And so may we beg thee, help thy servant, that sinful instrument on the pulpit to preach. Fill him with thy spirit. Give him the words. Guide his mouth, Lord, and open ears to hear, minds to understand, but also hearts to receive and to embrace thy precious word. Lord, we deserve nothing but that thou would pass us by, but we beg thee for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory, give us a good hour in thy house, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us continue now with singing from Psalter 306, all four stanzas. Praise God, ye servants of the Lord. Praise his name with one accord. Bless ye the Lord, his name adore, from this time forth, forevermore. Psalter 306, all four stanzas, and the collection is for the church, and I believe also for the school. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. dear congregation, this evening we come to the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. There's six petitions, and the first three are all to do with the glory in the name of God. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 9, "Hallowed be thy name." That's the first petition. And the content of this petition and what the Lord teaches in this petition, our fathers have summarized in the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 47, question and answer 122. You can find in the back of your Psalter on page 84. Question and answer 122, Lord's Day 47, page 84. Which is the first petition? The answer, "Hallowed be thy name." That is, grant us first rightly to know thee and to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. And further, also that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. So the theme this evening is the first petition, "Hallowed be thy name." Two thoughts, two questions. The first, what does this petition reveal to you and to me? The second is, what are you asking by this petition? Do you know? Do you think about it? So the first petition, "Hallowed be thy name." What this petition reveals to us? And second, what are we asking when we pray this petition? So the first petition, "Hallowed be thy name." Congregation, when you're asked, for example, of a prayer request, what do you answer? Normally, we may list many cares and concerns personally about our temporal needs, about ourselves, our family, or our friends. Or we answer this question and we list spiritual needs for our family or for our friends. This is good. We have been instructed that we may lay all our cares and needs before God in prayer. Everything for our body and everything for our soul. And we are called to pray for each other. But when have you ever answered a request for prayer? When have you ever answered that God's name would be hallowed? Has that ever been a personal request for you? When asked, what is your prayer request? Have you ever answered that God's name would be glorified? The disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ, "Teach us to pray," after they heard him pray. And the Lord taught them. We heard last week the address, "Our Father which art in heaven." And now the first petition, "Hallowed be thy name." What does that petition to reveal to you and to me? Our prayer should be, "Almighty God, let thy name be hallowed." Our prayer should echo what we read, for example, in Psalm 8, verse 1. "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens." And so we see with this instruction by the Lord Jesus Christ that our first petition should be all about him, about his name, about the holy name of God. Not first about us, about my needs, but our first petition should be all about him and about his name. What does this teach us? What does this reveal to us when the Lord Jesus instructs us to pray in that perfect prayer, "Hallowed be thy name"? What does this first petition reveal to you and me? What do you think, children, older ones? This petition reveals to all of us the purpose of our existence. We hear in this petition the purpose of our existence. Why did God create you and me? Why did God create the whole universe? Why did God create the whole world? Why did God create especially the crown jewel of his creation, man, you and me? One purpose. What is that purpose? It's to glorify, to honor, to hallow his name. To sanctify or to hallow the name of God, our Creator. What does this mean? What does hallow mean? It means to exalt God, to honor him, to hold in high esteem and awe and reverence his name. To exalt God with all that we are and all that we be in our whole being. And to live reflecting by everything we do the greatness of God for the glory and for the honor of his name. Our first purpose is not our status on this earth. Our first purpose is not to have a good job, to get a great education. It's not about status or becoming famous. It's not about getting married. It's not about having children. It's not about desiring to be rich, to become old and wealthy. It's not even desiring to be an elder, a deacon, or a pastor. And I can make a whole long list. Our primary purpose that the Lord Jesus teaches us in this first petition is hallowed be thy name. To exalt, to glorify, to worship God. But you say, can we as sinful beings add anything to the glory of God? We're sinful. And yet the Lord Jesus has taught. He has taught that with our whole being we are to hallow his name. Why did God create all things? What do we read in Revelation 4, verse 11? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You were created for one purpose. You were created to glorify God, enjoying, delighting, living for the glory and for the honor and loving God. You and I were created to reflect the image of God, to reflect his name in our life. God made everything for himself, for his delight, for his pleasure. Proverbs 16, verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself. The purpose of our life is to reflect the glory of God in our entire life, in everything we do. For example, we read in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all for the glory of God. My friend, how are you living? What's the purpose of your life? What's the motive of your whole life? If you are not living, and I am not living, our whole existence, our whole being, for one purpose, to honor and to glorify and to hallow the name of God, we are sinners. And so we're sinners tonight, congregation. God created us in his image, in knowledge, righteousness, and in holiness. And to live for this purpose. But we rebelled. We listened to the voice of Satan. We left God. And we have made ourselves completely corrupt. Instead of hallowing God's name, we love our name. And God sees you and me by nature, how we live. And he said in his word that we're only evil continually in all the imaginations of our heart and our whole being and our thoughts. How this must grieve God. How this must grieve gods were born depraved, not living with joy and delight for the purpose that we are created. This is our guilt. But may I ask you, has this become your personal guilt? Has it become your personal guilt that you do not live for the purpose that God has made you, living for the honor and for the glory of His name? The whole world could exalt you. The whole world could praise you. But in God's sight, we are sinners. We are in desperate need of His grace. Please open your Bibles to Jeremiah 9. And we'll read two verses from this chapter. Jeremiah 9, verse 23 and 24. Listen to what the Lord says. Jeremiah 9, verse 23 through 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, Jehovah, which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. What does the Lord delight in? That man understands him and knows him and delights in worshiping and praising and glorifying him. Who of us can raise our hand tonight and say, I meet the standard of God. I live hallowing his name. None of us can. We're all guilty. Not one of us. By nature, we don't even have one spark of this hallowing God's name. But also God's children, his dear sheep. How short they live. I live, you live, and living for this purpose, for hallowing God's name. By God's grace, sinners are born again, and they have a little tiny small beginning of living for the hallowing and the glorifying of God's name. So what does this petition, this first petition that the Lord Jesus taught to pray, hallowed be thy name, reveal to you and to me? Romans 3 verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hallowed be thy name. What does this petition reveal to you and me? It reveals the purpose of our life. It reveals our guilt, how guilty we are before God, that we're not living 100% every day hallowing His name. But what else does it reveal to us? It reveals to you and me tonight again that we need a radical renewing of our whole being. We need new thoughts. We need new affections, a new will, new desires. To truly hallow God's name, we need a new birth. And God's children, little lambs and sheep, you also only have a tiny, small beginning of obedience, of living, hallowing His name. You need more conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. You need more sanctification. Hallowed be thy name. What else does this petition teach us? It teaches us that we have a need of the only mediator, Jesus Christ, who is the only one that lived every day, 24 hours a day, with his whole being, living for the honor and for the glory, hallowing the name of God in all his thoughts, in all his desires, in his whole being. There's only one man that walked on this earth living, and that's Jesus Christ. So this first petition not only teaches us of our purpose for life, of our guilt, of a need of a radical renewal, of growing in sanctification, it also teaches you and me of our need of Jesus Christ, of that mediator between a holy God, of whom we offend because we do not hallow his name as he is worthy to receive. We need that mediator to cover us with his righteousness. We need his blood to cleanse and to wash us. Hallowed be thy name. Maybe you ask, how can I hallow God's name? How can I glorify the name of the Lord? How can I glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? When do I glorify his name? Do I glorify the Lord's name when I sing? When I sing psalters in my home or in church? Do I glorify God when I read his word? Do I glorify God when I come to church? Do we glorify God more on his day than on the other days? Do we glorify God the most when we come and we partake of the sacraments? How and when do we glorify God's name? Let's listen again to that perfect, beautiful answer in the Catechism. We glorify God when we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may be never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. When are you to glorify God? Every day of the week. Every day. Not just on the Lord's Day. You go to church to gather. You are to glorify God in university, young people. Adults, you are called to glorify God in your work. Younger ones, you are glorified God in school or in your home. You are called to glorify God every hour, every moment. Wherever you are, with whoever you are, in all circumstances. Hallowed be thy name is to be a disposition of the heart every day. The purpose of life and of your heart. Listen to the confession of the poet in Psalm 138, verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Is that your desire? Is that your life? Children of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, your good shepherd, with this first petition, is revealing to you that your whole life is purposed to be purposed to glorify, to hallow his name. He created you. And he recreated you for this purpose. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 43, verse 21. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. How are you to hallow his name? With your whole being. There's not a part of our life, a part of our heart that we can say, no, this is for me. No, it's our whole being, our whole life, our whole heart to live hallowing God's name in our thoughts. Adam in paradise had thoughts, pure thoughts, holy thoughts, reverent thoughts for the name of God. Every thought that Adam had before the fall was pure. Who are the wicked? Who are the wicked? Listen to Psalm 10, verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. And now listen. God is not in all his thoughts. Did you hear that? God is not in all his thoughts. How many thoughts do we have every day? Thousands and thousands of thoughts. And you, who are yet dead in sin trespasses, you have not yet had one thought of hallowing God's name. And now you, children of God, we also have thousands of thoughts every day. And how many of these thoughts, your thoughts, my thoughts, have been hallowing the name of God? We're sinful from head to toe. We must confess that we have so many sinful thoughts, so many lustful thoughts, yes, so many covetous thoughts, so many wicked thoughts, so many thoughts of discontentment, so many hateful thoughts, wicked thoughts, vain thoughts, proud thoughts. Instead of thinking and dwelling and meditating upon the holy name of God, hallowing His name. None of these sinful thoughts should ever enter our thoughts. God has made us holy, with holy thoughts, pure thoughts for Him. It's our guilt. Hallowing God's name begins with a renewed mind, with new thoughts, in striving to think upon God, to meditate upon His Word, opening His Word, meditating who God is, who He reveals Himself in His Word. Malachi 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. How are you to hallow God's name with your whole being, with pure thoughts, but also with words and with actions? Oh, how precious would it be that we all had pure thoughts for God, love for His name, and love for our neighbor. Then these pure thoughts would also produce pure actions, words, gracious words, gracious actions towards one another. What a blessed church this would be if all of us had one purpose in life, longing, desiring, living for the hallowing of God's name. We stand guilty individually. We stand guilty as God's people. We stand guilty tonight when we consider this first petition also as a congregation. Beg. Beg for the desire that God would give you this desire to hallow His name. Pray what we read in Psalm 71, verse 8. Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day. Jesus instructs in this prayer, in the first petition, hallowed be Thy name. This instruction reveals to us how we are to live with our whole lives, directing our thoughts, our words, our actions, as we read in this answer, that His name may never be blasphemed. That His name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. We say atheists, blasphemers, they do not hallow God's name. They blaspheme His name. But what about you and me? Congregation, do you cause God's name to be blasphemed? And I speak to you all, myself included. The world sees us coming to this church, our neighbors. They know you go to church. And how do you live? How we live can cause God's name to be blasphemed. But now I want to come a little closer. Children of God, can we cause God's name to be blasphemed? Yes. How? By how we live. I think of David, a child after God's own heart. He fell into sin, horrible sin, murder, adultery, and what was the consequence? God's name was blasphemed. 2 Samuel 12, verse 14. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Children of God, your life, my life, in all our being, our life, in our thoughts, words, deeds, must be an example to others of hallowing God's name. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As we meditate on prayer and how the Lord Jesus has instructed us to pray, we are in the part of the catechism of misery, no, deliverance, no, of gratitude. Gratitude. Jesus Christ teaches as that prophet his people, sinners, by his word of how great their sins and miseries are. And he reveals through the word of how they can be delivered and experience this, of how great my miseries are and how I sin against God, and tasting some of that deliverance through Jesus Christ and him alone. What flows out of the heart then automatically? Gratitude. Gratitude in the heart for God, for such grace, for such a wretch as I am. What is the chief part of thankfulness? Do you remember? Prayer. Prayer. And Jesus Christ instructs to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." To pray with reverence and awe for his name. As a child has great respect for the name of his father. Children, would you like someone to speak bad about your father? I hope not. I hope you would be offended and say, "Young man, don't talk about that way about my father. He's my father. I respect him. I love him." A little example. But the children of God, they are to love, and they do. But they are to live in this way, hallowing his name. Everything you and I do is a witness to God's name. Do you confess his name? Do you confess your hope in Jesus Christ? Everything you do is a reflection to him. Everything. The world is watching, congregation. God's name is above this church. Christ's name is above this church. It's not the name of the Netherlands Reformed Congregation. Yes, we belong to this denomination, but his name is above this church. Think about it. Listen to the exhortation, Ephesians 5 verse 1. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children," children of God, "and walk in love as Christ hath loved us." Did you hear it? "And walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." Jesus Christ's life and sacrifice was a sweet smelling savor to God. God delighted in his son and in his whole life. And Jesus Christ, delighting and living, glorifying his Father in heaven, he said, "Father, glorify thy name." Dear sheep of the Good Shepherd, you are to live as your shepherd. Your life should be a sweet-smelling savor. We read in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 15, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish." Yes, this verse speaks especially to ambassadors of Jesus Christ, but it also speaks to all his children, every believer. The question is not, are you an influence? Am I an influence in my life? We are. We're an influence with everything we say and everything we do every day. But the question is your life a sweet-smelling savor? Are you and I living, hallowing God's name, the name of Jesus Christ and of God? Is my life, is your life, children of God, bringing honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ and to God in everything we do, everywhere we go, every moment? Every person you meet in your life, every person I meet in my life is directed by God's providence. How do I treat them? How do you treat them? How do you talk to them? Do they meet you and desire to know the God that you confess with your mouth? Or do they say, "If this is Christianity, I want nothing to do with it"? Horrible. Horrible. Our lives should be a sweet-smelling savor, children of God. It should. We are called to live, and that aroma would go from us. No, we don't have it in self. We need God, His grace, and His Spirit. But we can so easily say we need everything and give an excuse. We are to live reflecting the image of God and His name. Does the name of Christ radiate from you? Radiate from you? Does His image radiate from me? Do we reflect His image, who He is? Do we hallow His name? Do we leave a sweet aroma among the people we talk, we go to school with, we work with, we live? How we need forgiveness. When we consider this first petition, we sin daily, numerous ways. We need a recreation congregation to begin to live according to this petition. But we also are commanded, Church of God, to live hallowing God's name. It's not about your name. It's not about my name. Our lives should reflect His name. And there should be around us, of the people we meet, longing, I want to know His name because of how we live. Maybe you ask, how can I as a boy, how can I as a girl, how can I as a young person, an older one, an adult, how can I begin to live hallowing God's name? You need a renewal of heart, because our hearts are desperately wicked and deceitful of all things. That's the first step, a renewal, a radical renewal. And we need a continual conformity to the image of God, growing in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do you ask, children of God, how can my life give a sweet aroma? How? The answer is in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. We are to live, beloved sheep, lambs. We are to live every day hallowing God's name. And you need to kill the flesh. You need to put off the works of darkness. Yes. It's a command to the children of God. They need to put off the works of darkness. They need to mortify the flesh, crucify the flesh, flee from sin. And they need to live abiding in the Good Shepherd, meditating upon Him, focusing upon Him, following Him. They need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 13, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Jesus Christ lived, and all His thoughts, words, deeds, and His motives, His entire life, hallowing the name of God, His Father. Only by mortifying our wicked deeds, mortifying that old man, and living in and close to Jesus Christ, will our lives give a sweet aroma, hallowing the name of God. The Father is their delight, is it not? Born again, love in their hearts, and there's love for God. In the bottom of their heart is awe for Him. Do you long to live more fully to hallowing God's name? Children of God, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. He's in you. He has power. Beg Him for grace every day to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is your great example of how to live hallowing and glorifying God's name. And he gave you his word to the means for sanctification, as Jesus Christ prayed in that high priestly prayer, John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. My dear friends, do you feel guilty? Church of God, do you feel guilty? Do you feel guilty because you do not live every moment hallowing God's name? Do you feel guilty because you do not meet God's purpose for what he has created you for? Do you feel in your heart a desire by God's grace to hallow God's name? Do you desire to live for him, for his honor, for his glory? Jesus Christ instructs us to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Well, before we consider the second thought, the second question, let us first sing now from Psalter 374, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. 374, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
The first petition, hallowed be thy name. We've heard a few words about what this reveals to us. Now, what are we asking when we pray this petition, hallowed be thy name? May I ask you, how many times in your life you have prayed this prayer? Numerous times. Maybe more than you can count or even think of. But do you understand? Do I understand what we are asking when we pray this petition, hallowed be thy name? Hallowed be thy name. We have names, right? Children, we all have a name. It's to distinguish between people. It would be confusion if we all had the same name. God has given himself names. Why? There's only one God. His names reveal something of who he is. It's the way he reveals himself to us. God has given himself names in his words. I will mention a few. Listen. El Shaddai, God Almighty. God Almighty. Yahweh, or Jehovah, I am that I am, the Almighty God, the All-Sufficient One, the Covenant-Keeping Jehovah, the Faithful One, Adonai, Ruler, Possessor, Sabaoth, the Unconquerable One. A few names. God reveals himself to you and me through his names, beautiful names. To hallow God's name is to hold it in reverence and awe. Children, you love your mother. Her name is precious to you. You don't want anybody to say or to use your mother's name in any way that would not be respectful. Hallowing a name is to exalt, to honor, to magnify, to glorify. And to glorify and to hallow and to exalt God's name is exalting God himself, because God is his names. To hallow God's name is to honor and to exalt, to praise God's attributes. His honor or his mercy. To exalt and magnify God for his mercy, for his holiness, for his power, for his love, for his justice, for his graciousness. Do you, do I, understand that when we ask this petition, hallowed be thy name, we are desiring, longing that God's name is exalted and glorified in his whole being and who he is. Has this become your life? You pray this petition, but is it your life? Or do you pray this petition and you have absolutely no desire at all for any of the hallowing of God's name? I want you to go home and think about that. Is that right? We ask God something and we have absolutely no desire at all to even do this? Is that right? Or do you pray this desire with a desire, this petition? Oh, that God's name would be hallowed. Do you feel the task? Do you feel the desire to hallow God's name? Is that your life? But you feel it's so impossible. I'm so guilty and so fleshy, so sinful. I feel short in hallowing his name. In praying this prayer, this petition, you may ask God to enable you. You hear that? In praying this prayer with a desire, you are asking him also to enable you to do what he requires. You may ask him, Lord, give me the grace to truly hallow thy name in my whole life, in my whole being. He has the grace to enable you to live according to what he requires. You may ask him, Lord, touch this heart. Break this hard heart. Touch this heart, this stone. Give me a heart of flesh. And touch it again and again every day, that my heart may be motivated, may be radiated with love for thy name, and that out of my mouth and out of my lips and with my being, with my actions, I may live hallowing thy name. David prayed for this. Yes, David prayed for this. Psalm 51, verse 5. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. What are you asking when you pray this first petition? Hallowed be thy name. The Catechism gives a beautiful explanation. Let us read it again. Grant us first rightly to know thee. Did you hear it? Grant us first rightly to know thee, to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. The way God enables a sinner to hallow his name is by a deeper knowledge of him. We cannot honor or respect someone we don't know. It's impossible. The first step is to know God. To know God. And when we know someone and we grow in the knowledge of someone, then we have more respect, hopefully, more love. And the more we learn of that person, the more we want to care for his name. And sheep of the good shepherd, to hallow the name of God your Father, and to hallow the name of Jesus Christ, you need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of them, of God, of the Father, of the Son. Listen again to what we read in Jeremiah 9, verse 24. But let him that glorieth in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. That he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. Well, how can we know God? How? Is that your longing? To know God? To know the Lord Jesus Christ? He reveals himself to us through his words. How can we know God? Through his names, as I mentioned already. Think of that precious name, Jesus. Jesus. Jehovah saves. How can we know God especially? How? How? We can know a little something of God through creation. But how can we know God? You say it through his word. But how can we really come to know God? Open your Bibles again, please. John 14. And we will read verse 8 through 10. John 14, verse 8 through 10. Philip said unto him, he's speaking to the Lord Jesus, John 14, verse 8 through 10. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So how can we know God? Through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the express image of God. How can we know God further? By his works. His works display who he is. Think of creation. Yes, creation speaks. It's a silent sermon every day before your and my eyes. Guido de Bray says it's the most elegant book before our eyes. You see those beautiful leaves? You don't see them very much in Bolivia. But you see those beautiful color leaves? I love it. I love it to see it, those beautiful colors. And a few times, it touched me. What beauty. What a little reflection of the glorious, almighty creator of the heavens and of the earth. His creation should cause us to have awe for his name. But there's something even greater. The works of his salvation. the works of his salvation that he reveals in his word display his love. Yes. It displays his justice. It displays his mercy, his grace. It displays all his attributes through his Son. Children of God, the key to hallowing God's name is to know, to have a deeper knowledge of him. And as a sinner grows in the knowledge of God, through his works, through his word, his or her heart will desire to glorify and to praise God. Psalm 107 verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Do you desire to know God? Study his word. Study his word and beg the Lord, Lord, teach me who I am. But beg him also, Lord, teach me who thou art, how great thou art. Reveal thyself to me so that I would truly have awe, that I would hallow thy name. Beg the Holy Spirit to reveal God unto you and to reveal more and more of his attributes unto you. Children of God, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Jesus Christ dwells in you with his Spirit. There's a power in you to be able to know God through the Word, through the Spirit. Beg him to reveal him unto you, that your heart would radiate with awe and love for God. The Holy Spirit, by the Word, is the one to work in you, to conform you, but also to reveal unto you who God is. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. What are you asking in this petition? For a more profound knowledge of God. You're asking, Almighty God, reveal thyself unto me. God, may I know thee more and more in all thy glories. Lord, may I know thee more in the works of thy salvation, that I may hallow, glorify, and live for the honor and for the glory of his name. And the more you and I are in awe of who God is, the more we desire to live to hallow his name, the more brings honor and glory to him. That our hearts would radiate with awe and love for God and for Jesus Christ. That would be your life. That your mind, my mind, would be occupied with thoughts of him. That our mouth and our lips would overflow with praise for him. That our actions would be all to live for the honor and for the glory of his name. May I ask you, children of God, especially you tonight, why do we live so little, hallowing God's name? Why is that? It's because we have so little knowledge of him. That's why. We have so little knowledge of him. And we need to grow, as I said, in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Growing in grace and the knowledge brings more glory to him. Remember Moses? Remember Moses? What did he pray? He prayed, show me thy glory. Moses longed, he knew the Lord. But he longed to know the Lord more, and he prayed, show me thy glory. And what was the result? When the Lord passed him by and hid him in the clefts of the rock, when he passed him by, what was the effect? When the Lord proclaimed all his attributes to Moses, as you can read in Exodus 34, what happened? What was the result? Exodus 34 verse 8, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. What was the effect? Moses hallowed the name of God. May we go home and take time this week, opening our Bibles and pray, Lord, show me thy glory. Why? Why? That your heart, that my heart would be motivated by seeing a little something when he reveals it, to live for the glory, for the honor, hallowing his name. This is how Paul lived. Paul was running a race, and he longed to know more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul, do you not know the Lord Jesus? That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. What was Paul's desire? To know him. To know Jesus Christ and to be conformed more to his image. Why did Paul desire this? Why should you desire this, children of God? Because nothing hallows the name of God the Father more than being more conformed to the image of his Son. Why? Because the more we live in holiness, more we glorify God. The more we are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, the more you will live hallowing God's name. And so we come to the end. Sheep of the Good Shepherd, a few words about the first petition. Hallowed be thy name. Be obedient. Pray this prayer with heart and mouth, not as just, well, I don't know what else to pray. Okay, I'll pray the Lord's Prayer before meal. May that never be so. I've done it that way many times, I confess it. But it should not be that way. We should pray with awe, with humility, with reverence, with desire for God, for his name, for his glory. And children of God, sheep of the Good Shepherd, soon, he will return, and he will come, and he will deliver you from your body of flesh. And then you will enter into that place where you will live forever, perfectly hallowing and glorifying his name forever and forever. When he comes on the clouds of heaven, you will hear one more invitation. I believe it will be the last invitation. Sheep of the Good Shepherd, what will you hear? You will hear, come. Come. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Will you be there, my friend? Will I be there? Who will be there? Those only who have learned in this life that desire planted by God's grace, that life that begins longing to glorify, to praise his name. What will they be doing eternally? Perfectly hallowing, glorifying God's name, glorifying the Lamb and the Lord forever. We'll close with reading a few verses from Revelation. May I ask you one more time, open your Bible to Revelation, and we will read chapter 7, verse 9 through 12. Revelation 7, verse 9 through 12. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. They're hallowing God's name. Will you be there? Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of heaven and earth, We must confess our sin before thee, of how little, even with thy grace, we live with our whole being, with our heart, hallowing thy name. O Lord, forgive us, all thy dear people, of all our sins. And Lord, may we beg thee, enable us, sanctify us, conform us to the image of thy Son, that we may live more, hallowing thy name. May we beg it for thy honor, for thy glory. But Lord, may we also ask thee of all those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses, and who have not any desire, nothing, it's all for self, that they may be born again, and that they may begin to live, hallowing thy name. Help us in this week, Lord, in all the responsibilities. Bring us again here on Wednesday for another worship service, when we remember the wonderful works of God and how thou hast kept us to the truth of thy word, especially on justification by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone. Lord, give much prayer, give opening to preach and to hear, and bless thy word richly. Keep us in this week. Again, we ask thee, Lord, to remember Jeff and Maria and their children as they travel this week. Keep them. And remember also that little girl, Lucy Ann, sick. Lord, we beg thee, have mercy upon her. Heal her, Lord. Thou art a mighty God, if it is thy will. Remember the parents, and remember them and us all for a never-ending eternity. Prepare us to meet thee, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing in closing Psalter 429, stanzas 1 and 4. 429, stanzas 1 and 4. With all my heart will I record thy praise, O Lord, and exaltation. Before the gods with joyful song will I prolong my adoration. I'll worship toward thy holy place, and for thy grace and truth extol thee. Above thy name, thou Lord Most High, didst magnify thy word so holy. 429, stanzas 1 and 4.
Thank you.
Your congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.